Hello, and welcome to Sun Sounds. This is your Sun Sounds volunteer reader, Mary McGrarty with Northland Views. Today I'll be reading from the Navajo Times and the Navajo Hopi Observer. Some of today's headlines relate to a new senior center in Gallup, Adine with roots in Lichi, Arizona, nominated as Assistant Secretary of the Interior for Indian Affairs. More background on the Navajo artist Ryan Singer's imaginative dreamscapes, a new edition of a book used by many Navajo educators, and a judge refusing to overturn the new Grand Canyon National Monument. Let's start with this story from the Navajo Times of Tuesday, February 11th, first published online on February 6th. This is by Donovan Quintero, a special to the Navajo Times. Dateline, Gallup, New Mexico. Headline, New Gallup Senior Center to offer expanded services and amenities. The city of Gallup is moving forward with plans to build a new senior center that will provide expanded services and amenities for the community's growing senior population. The groundbreaking ceremony for the new facility was held on Monday, February 3rd, next to the Harold Runnels Recreation Center. Kimberly Ross Toledo, the senior programs manager for the City of Gallup, provided details on the features of the new senior center. The current facility serves around 180 to 200 seniors daily, but the new center will have a larger cafeteria that can accommodate up to 220 people. The new one has a larger cafeteria so we can serve more people, Ross Toledo said. Right now, we have lunch open 2 hours a day. We're serving about 180 to 200 daily. And then with this new facility, I think the capacity is like 220, which is nice. In addition to the expanded cafeteria, the new senior center will also include specialized rooms for activities like arts and crafts, health and wellness classes, and a billiards room. The current facility has activity rooms scattered throughout, but the new design will group them for better organization. We also will have a billiards room because billiards is a big thing, so they'll have their own room, Ross Toledo explained. Finally, they won't be in the middle of the front office, and we'll have the office much more accessible right now in this old building. Another article from the Navajo Times of Tuesday, February 11th. Headline, Diné with Lichi Roots nominated as Assistant Secretary of the Interior for Indian Affairs. This is also by Donovan Quintero, first published online on February 4th. Dateline, Window Rock. President Donald Trump nominated William Billy Kirkland III of Georgia to serve as the Assistant Secretary of the Interior for Indian Affairs, replacing Brian Todd Newland, who served under President Joe Biden. If confirmed, Kirkland will oversee federal policies and programs affecting Native American tribes across the United States, including economic development, land management, education, and federal trust responsibilities. A member of the Navajo Nation, whose mother is from Lichi, Arizona, Kirkland was raised in Georgia and graduated from the University of Georgia. A seasoned Republican strategist, Kirkland has played a key role in Georgia's political landscape, leading major Senate campaigns, including those of David Perdue in 2014 and Kelly Loeffler in 2020. He also served as a senior advisor to Donald Trump's 2016 campaign in Georgia and later worked on the White House Inauguration Committee before becoming a senior strategist for Vice President Mike Pence. During his tenure as Deputy Director of the White House Office of Intergovernmental Affairs, Kirkland worked extensively with tribal leaders, including the Navajo Nation, and played a pivotal role in Trump's response to the missing and murdered Indigenous women's crisis, launching Operation Lady Justice. His nomination was received by the Senate on February 3, 2025, and referred to the Senate Committee on Energy and Natural Resources for review. The confirmation process will now proceed through the committee hearings before a potential full Senate vote. Former Navajo Nation Vice President Myron Leiser, who was also considered for the position, voiced his support for Kirkland's nomination. Billy Kirkland is a friend of mine. He had the inside track as he worked in the White House. I expect Billy to be a solid pick for Assistant Secretary of Indian Affairs. I also expect to continue to have access to BIA and offer some solid recommendations, as I know Billy and I have worked really well. I will hold him to truly working hard for Navajo and Indian country, Leiser said on Tuesday. Leiser said he was en route to Washington, D.C. on February 4th, 2025. Now, some articles from the Navajo Hopi Observer of Wednesday, February 5th, 2025. Leading article. Headline, Ryan Singer's Imaginative Dreamscapes Blend Navajo World with Fantasy. This is by Alexandra Wittenberg for the Navajo Hopi Observer. Ryan Singer may be 51, but even now, he still finds ways to incorporate his beloved fantasy worlds into his art. Known for mixing Navajo Nation landscape with Star Wars characters, dinosaurs, monsters, or other dreamy absurdities, Singer uses the imagination he has never lost. Singer was born in Utah and moved all over the Navajo reservation as a child and teen for his parents' teacher jobs, including calling many farms, Kayenta, Tuba City, Window Rock, and Flagstaff home. I've always been drawing since as far back as I can remember, Singer said. It was a way to escape, too. I could just sit in my room and draw and stay busy, drawing away. His uncle was traditional Navajo painter Ed Singer of Gray Mountain, Arizona, who was an inspiration on Singer as a youngster. Art was always kind of around me, Singer said. His family encouraged him to keep drawing, with his mother buying him sketchbooks, coloring books, and paint by numbers. When she bought him his first acrylics in high school, he made his first real painting on canvas, a self-portrait of himself as a mummy. He would draw monsters like Wolfman, Frankenstein, the Fly, Creature from the Black Lagoon, characters in his comic books, or even just Gene Simmons from Kiss blowing fire. But it was Star Wars that had a profound impact on him. I remember going to watch it for the first time. It was like a dream for me. Sitting in this theater and then hearing the music and then watching the sci-fi, Singer said. You kind of get disconnected when you watch those sci-fi movies. But I watched Star Wars and I was like, holy crap, that looks like an arroyo at my grandma's house. It totally makes sense. After the toys from the movie came out, Singer would hide them in his pocket when he went sheep herding with his cousins, placing them on rock formations that matched the scenery from the movie. The imagination was just so real for me. It kind of stuck with me for my whole life, Singer said. Singer's two favorite paintings he has created are Star Wars related. The first is Tuba City Spaceport, which puts the Tuba City Trading Post in the middle of Mos Eisley Spaceport. I think it solidifies in my head that these worlds can actually coexist, almost like parallel universes, Singer said. Star Wars characters are interacting with 19th century Navajos. It took about 2 or 3 weeks and was featured in exhibits across the Southwest. Singer's other favorite painting he's created is Decolonized Ewok, which shows a Star Wars Ewok before and after assimilation. It basically addresses the issue of boarding school of indigenous children, Singer said. There's an Ewok on one side and an Ewok on another that's become assimilated into the colonizing culture of society, or their idea of what society opposes. This painting was purchased by the Museum of Northern Arizona. Currently, Singer's 2014 acrylic on canvas, The Vendor, is on display at the Zimmerli Museum at Rutgers University in New Jersey. The exhibition explores the multiplicities of indigeneity and asserts the inextricability of Native American art from the contemporary canon. The vendor shows the back of a Diné elder as she wheels her goods towards an event in vibrant colors. Next up, singers getting ready for a show in March at the Blue Rain Gallery in Santa Fe. Singer works on commissions at his studio in Albuquerque and has a studio at the University of New Mexico, where he's getting his fine arts MFA in drawing and painting. There, he also teaches an intro to drawing class. Eventually, he hopes to transition into teaching art as a career. I built an art career young. Now I'm going backwards and trying to get an education, he said. His advice to others wanting to pursue art: draw all the time and don't be afraid of all the ups and downs. Don't be afraid to take chances. Stay in school as much as possible, he said. Another article from the front page of the Navajo Hopi Observer of February 5th. Headline: Long-awaited new book edition used by Navajo educators. This is also by Alexandra Wittenberg for the Navajo Hopi Observer. Navajo teachers are excited for the new release of Kathy Eccles Hooker's book, We Walk the Earth in Beauty, Traditional Navajo Life Ways. The book was originally titled Time Among the Navajo and was released first in 1991, with the second edition coming out in 2002. Besides the new title, the book has a new cover showing Navajo women performing lifeway tasks, a new preface and introductory texts, and a new foreword by Lisa Puente Siuja, Director of Education for the Hualapai Tribe. There is also a tribute to the book's photographer, Helen Lau Running, who passed away in 2014. Husband and wife, Amy and Joe Begay, met Hooker when they all worked for the Flagstaff Unified School District in the early 2000s. The Begays started using the old version of Hooker's book as a textbook for their Navajo studies classes. Joe, who will retire from Flagstaff High School in May, said he used Time Among the Navajos for every grade level he has taught, to teach the cultural aspects of Navajo life as well as translation practice from English to Diné Bizaad. He said the brief passages about different cultural topics lend themselves to perfect individual lessons, including lessons on yucca shampoo, binding, building corrals, washing with soap, and weaving. Students nowadays don't know about what hauling water means or are not even butchering these days, so the book is good because we can do English lessons and then a translated version of this for the student in Navajo, Joe said. It's hard to find good Navajo materials, especially about the real Diné people. Amy used the text a little differently while teaching Navajo at Mount Eldon and Sanawa Middle Schools. During the early 2000s, a lot of the parents and grandparents were still speaking Navajo, so I would ask the students questions to share about their weekend, Amy said. If a student said they were butchering over the weekend, they would go to the butchering section, or if they said they chopped wood, they'd go to the chapter about chopping wood. We just used a lot of the verbs that incorporated their daily traditions, maybe even discussing the concept of the hogan, analyzing the book, having a lot of respect for these people and for the stories. Booker has written a study guide to accompany We Walk the Earth in Beauty, which will be piloted by Sanawa Middle School in March. Joe said he has ordered copies and hopes the new Navajo teacher at Flag High School will continue the tradition after he leaves. The people written about by Kathy are no longer living, and so in that way, we carry on their history in this book, Joe said. About the author. Kathy Hooker grew up in a suburb of Washington, D.C. She's been interested in Native cultures since the age of 6. My father worked for the Department of the Interior, and my family attended a presentation of Native American dancers who performed in the lobby of the Interior Department building. I was enthralled with their native dress, drums, and powerful songs, she said. After meeting her husband and living in Ohio while he completed dental school, the couple decided to move west. By 1975, they moved to Dilcon Boarding School near Winslow, Arizona. Hooker taught there while her husband was the student's dentist. During the 1970s, the reservation seemed like a foreign country to me, Hooker said. The Navajo dress was different from mine, as was their language, shelters, culture, traditions, and daily life ways. I was amazed they existed traditionally with such a strong, dominant society surrounding them. Their land was their provider, their Mother Earth. They survived this way for centuries, and I had the amazing opportunity to witness them in action. Hooker first started interviewing Diné staff from the boarding school and her husband's dental department. She became close friends with photographer Helen Lau Running, who had extensive contacts on the Navajo reservation. "We always traveled together to the Navajo Nation. Not once was there a cross word. We both carried the same vision of recording the old ways," Hooker said. Helen worked nights, and I would pick her up in the morning when her shift ended. She was wide awake while traveling to the reservation and photographing the people, but as we were returning to Flagstaff, she would fall asleep. Helen was a real trooper. All in all, Hooker and Lau Running captured the old ways of 19 elders. Hooker is also the author of the 2022 book, Voices of Navajo Mothers and Daughters, Portraits of Beauty. In We Walk the Earth, readers will discover the women in Voices of Navajo Mothers and Daughters live their day-to-day lives, especially learning from the elders and baby boomer generations, Hooker said. The elders in We Walk the Earth preserve the traditional life ways for the younger generation in Voices, she said. Find out more about We Walk the Earth at solsticepublishing.com/product/walk-in-beauty. Now an article also from page one of the Navajo Hopi Observer. Headline, Judge Tosses Bid to Overturn New Grand Canyon Monument. This is by Howard Fisher of Capital Media Services. Dateline, Phoenix. A federal judge has tossed out a bid by Republican state lawmakers to overturn the designation of nearly 1 million acres of federal land near the Grand Canyon that the Biden administration had dedicated as a national monument. In a new ruling, U.S. District Court Judge Stephen McNamee and Senate said President of the Arizona Senate Warren Peterson and Ben Toma, who has been Speaker of the House, lacked the standing to even bring a claim in federal court over the creation last year of the Baj Nuevo Ita Kukveni ancestral footprints of the Grand Canyon National Monument. That right, the judge said, belongs only to the executive branch. More to the point, neither Governor Katie Hobbs nor Attorney General Chris Mays chose to challenge the 2023 designation, and McNamee said that doesn't entitle lawmakers to hire their own attorneys and step in. But the win could lead to another legal fight. President Trump, in his first term in office, announced he was cutting the size of the Grand Staircase Escalante National Monument in Utah in half. And he also trimmed the Bears Ears National Monument by 85%. Those cuts were restored when Biden took office in 2021. Though there still is a pending lawsuit over that legal question. But Perry Wheeler, spokesman for Earth Justice, which sought to intervene in this case and is involved in the Utah litigation, said any move by Trump would be illegal. Nothing in the Antiquities Act, which allows a president to create monuments, authorizes a president to remove parcels of land from a national monument or otherwise diminish or dismantle an existing monument, he said. A spokesman for Steve Montenegro, who succeeded Toma, said the new speaker is reviewing the ruling and evaluating next steps. There was no immediate comment from Peterson. But the ruling cheered Chris Mays. "I speak for the state in federal court," she said, calling the actions by Peterson and Thoma a blatant attempt at a power grab in this case, and they overstepped their authority and wasted taxpayer resources. This case stems from a lawsuit filed last year by the pair who called Biden's actions an illegal land grab. Both acknowledged that the 1906 Federal Antiquities Act does allow a president to set aside parcels of federal land, which is solely what is involved here, for protection. But they say such a proclamation has to be limited to historic landmarks, historic and prehistoric structures, and other objects of historic or scientific interest. More to the point, they argue that such designations have to be confined to the smallest area compatible with the care and management of the items to be protected. And they contend the Bajnuavo Itakukveni ancestral footprints of the Grand Canyon National Monument, the formal name for 1,462 square miles of the site, which the White House says translate in part in the Havasupai language to "where indigenous peoples roam" and in Hopi to "our ancestral footprints," meets neither requirement. Congress passed the Antiquities Act to protest just that, antiquities, the lawsuit says. It did not pass the law to allow the Biden administration to declare every inch of federal land a federal forest, cut off from all but those it selects. Legislative leaders had one other argument. They said if uranium deposits become inaccessible with the monument, that undermines the ability of Arizona utilities to get the fuel they need for their power plants. A significant portion of energy produced and consumed in Arizona comes from nuclear power, the attorneys for lawmakers argue, with the figure in 2022 hitting 29% of total electricity. What makes that important, the lawsuit said, is that for the moment, domestic nuclear energy production is dependent on foreign imports of uranium. And that, GOP leader said, nuclear power at risk if foreign nations suspend uranium exports to the United States. Attorneys for the Department of Justice, however, also had asked the judge to rule that only Congress and not the president has the power to undo a national monument. McNamee declined, saying it was sufficient for him to rule that the challengers in this case lacked standing. Let me remind you that you're listening to Northland Views from the Flagstaff Studios of Sun Sounds of Arizona. Sun Sounds programming is directed to those who cannot use print material due to disability. Listen to our live streams and learn how you can support us at the website sunsounds.org. You can also get our stream and on-demand programs with the new Sun Sounds of Arizona app for Apple and Android devices. Now, also from the Navajo Hopi Observer of February 6th, a statement from current President Boo Nigrin of Navajo Nation on the pause of federal funding from page 5. Ya'ate, my fellow Diné, I write to update you on the Nigrin administration's review of President Trump's memorandum calling for federal executive agencies to pause funding obligations and disbursements of financial assistance, loans, and grants. After consulting with my legal team and having read the plain language of the memorandum, there should be little impact to the daily operations of the Navajo Nation government. Programs that are funded with federal dollars may be impacted, however, as the memorandum is implemented. Take special note that Social Security benefits, Medicare, and other federally funded social programs remain unaffected by the memorandum. Earlier today, the federal funding portal, which releases federal dollars for these programs, was shut down for a short period of time, but has since been reactivated. It is also important to emphasize that, as a sovereign government, the Navajo Nation operates under treaty obligations with the United States. Treaty agreements create legal protections for our government's funding and operations. We are closely monitoring the situation and conducting the necessary analyses. As of now, a lawsuit has been filed challenging the Office of Management and Budgets memorandum, and an injunction has been issued. The legal and policy landscape is evolving rapidly, and we are committed to providing timely updates as developments occur. I want to assure the Navajo people that the Office of the President is working diligently with the Office of the Comptroller and the Navajo Nation's Council, Budget and Finance Committee to identify unspent federal funds and determine how they can be utilized without interference from these executive orders. The Nigrid administration remains steadfast in protecting the interests of the Navajo Nation. Thank you for your patience and trust as we navigate this matter. Ahiehe, Navajo Nation President, Bu Nigrin. That's all we have time for today, listeners. Ahiehe, thank you so much for listening. This has been Northland Views. I'm your Sun Sounds of Arizona volunteer reader, Mary McRorty Nishli. Thank you again for listening. Please listen again next week to this program and listen to any others you find of interest on Sun Sounds of Arizona. Thank you once again. Hagone.